Welcome to the TWS Sports Podcast.
There's no heroes in Test cricket, son. Retire hurt.
Paul Gascoigne, he kept saying, do you need any shampoo, any conditioner?
My car stunk for about a week and I couldn't get rid of the smell.
But it turned out that the decanter of port had been donated to the owner of the hotel by Nelson Mandela upon his release from Robben Island, and someone had nicked it.
Hello, my name is Simon Lazenby and I'm a presenter on Sky Sports. You may have seen me present sports such as the F1, international rugby, England cricket and golf from around the world. However, I wanted to come and give you some information about the TWS Sports Podcast. The TWS Sports Podcast is the only podcast in the UK which is hosted by autistic students who interview some of the biggest names in sport. Each week, they speak to a different sports person and delve deep into their lives, talking about the highs and the lows of their career and what makes them a top athlete in their sport. The TWS Sports Podcast were voted the best sports podcast in the world that promotes social equality. They picked up that honour at the 2021 Sports Podcast Awards. So if you're a sports fan and want to hear these great stories with questions from some amazing young people who promote autism, then the TWS Sports Podcast is the podcast for you.
Petnewood School is a school for autistic children and young adults, and we have set this podcast up to provide our pupils with a fantastic opportunity to develop a range of skills whilst interviewing top sportsmen and women from a variety of different sports. Joining us today on the TWS Sports Podcast is an Olympic and Commonwealth gold medal winner hockey player. Welcome to the podcast, Shona McAllen. Before we start, we just wanted to say that throughout the podcast, if you have any questions for us about anything about our podcast or you have a question about autism, then please ask. We'd like to answer your questions too. We'd like to start our podcast with some random questions before we start talking about your career. You up for that?
I am so up for that, yeah. Random questions sound much more fun than talking about my career.
Yeah, we tend to go off script now and then and ask random questions.
Fab, let's go.
Who is the most famous person in your phone book?
Oh, that's a good question. Claire Boulding, I think, is still in there, who is on BBC Sport and TV quite a lot. Yeah, I'd say her. She's fairly famous.
If you could trade lives with anyone for a day, who would it be and why?
They have to be alive.
We never actually discussed that.
Yeah, do they?
I reckon they do, because if they're not alive, then that's probably not that much of a fun day for me if they're not there anymore. If I could trade lives with someone, do you know what? I'm going to go with my younger self when I was about 6 years old and go and see what life was like as a six-year-old, because I think it would be well fun.
Cute.
If you could have any super, what would you have and why?
I think I'd like to see into the future.
Clairvoyance.
And why is that? So then I can really plan for what's going on and plan all the fun things.
Okay. Thank you for answering those questions. Let's chat about your career. We want to take you back to the beginning and talk about your childhood. What are your memories of growing up, and did you always want to play hockey?
So we're going back quite a long time now, going back to the beginning. I'm 31 now, and I started playing hockey when I was 6. We're going back, how many years is that? 25 years? Quite a long time. I was always very sporty as a child and always had lots of energy. And so I did loads of sports to get me out of the house and to get me running around. And I really enjoyed doing loads of sports. So up until I was about 12 or 13, I did all the sports offered at school. So football, netball, hockey, a bit of tennis. We did a bit of cricket outside of school, athletics. I wasn't very good at gymnastics, so I stopped that quite early. Running cross country. And yeah, I really enjoyed all of them. I enjoyed making friends and meeting new people. And it was only when I was about maybe 14 or 15 did I start to get really serious with hockey. And I started to realise I was pretty good. And then I had to kind of stop the other sports and just focus mainly on hockey when I was about 14 or 15.
I can relate to having lots of energy when I was a kid. My grandparents, they bought me this big black teddy bear. First thing, as in, it was massive, bigger than I was. And the first thing I did with it was wrestle around on the floor with it.
Yeah, who won? Who won the wrestling? I think the bear did.
I don't remember. The only thing I remember is I wrestled on the floor with a teddy bear.
I think the teddy bear won.
Okay. You played a number of sports as a child before deciding to pursue hockey. How important is it for a child to play a range of sports when they are children, and what are the benefits for you?
Do you know what? I think it's so important. So I don't know about you guys, but if I just do one thing all the time, I get really bored. Mm-hmm. And so if I was to only do hockey from the age of 6, I reckon I would have been bored by about 15. So I think by playing lots of sports, one, it helped me keep the love for something. Two, it makes it more interesting because you're not doing it all the time. Three, by doing lots of different sports, you actually learn lots of things as well. So, for example, tennis, you have to be pretty good on your feet. Your footwork has to be really good. You have to be able to move really short, sharp movements really quickly. And if I played that, then that skill that I was learning in tennis can then come over with me when I play hockey, and then my footwork is a bit better in hockey. In terms of football, say, for example, it's quite a similar game to hockey in terms of it's like 11 a side. You have to score more goals than the opposition to win. So just understanding the tactical stuff around football can then help me with my hockey. Also, for example, the athletics or the running, it's obviously a big focus on fitness and being faster and fitter. And then that can also translate to hockey. So there's many benefits. One, I think the main thing is not being bored with something. You don't want to be bored with a sport. Sports should be fun. And also the fact that actually you can learn lots of things from lots of different sports and translate them into the sport that you want, which for me was hockey.
You started playing in the England setup at the age of 15. Was there a certain stage of your early career where you knew you could make it all the way? And who were the important people in your career as a teenager?
That's a really good question. So I'll start with the second question, the most important people in my career as a teenager. The first one was someone called Mrs. Ferguson. She was called Christine Ferguson. And unfortunately, she's not with us anymore, but she was my first ever coach and taught me so much about hockey, about working hard, about being really good on the basics. I was a little bit scared of her as well, which I think helped. So she was great with me up until about the age of about 13 or 14. And then there was another man called Tim Barlow, who then I was playing in my regional, so I was playing for the Midlands. So I'm from Nottingham, so that's in the Midlands region. And he really, really shaped so many players that have gone on to play for Great Britain and England. He's coached so many of them. And he was a big driver in my career, for sure. And so those two were really, really key in my kind of early teenage years to get me playing at the level that I am now. The second question about when did I ever think I'd make it or realize I could make it? I don't think that came later on until I was probably about 19 or 20. Then I was playing for the England under 21s and doing fairly well. And I had a bit of training with the national teams, with the seniors. But I think what's really important as a player is you never really make it because you always want to be better. Well, I certainly did anyway. So even, you know, when I'd achieved everything that I wanted to achieve, you know, won everything that I wanted to, so winning Olympic gold medal, I was never thinking, oh, I've made it now, that's me done. No, I always wanted more. I always wanted more for the team, always wanted to win more, be more successful. I think that's a really good piece of information and key skill to have if you want to be a professional athlete. You've never really made it. You always want to be better, right?
You went to university in Holland to complete an international business degree and play hockey. Why did you decide to go to Holland rather than stay in England?
You've done your research on me, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we tend to poke around under the hood. As we find things that we rather wish we didn't.
Yeah.
Hopefully you've not found anything else. Yeah, you're right. I did go to Holland. So I left school when I was 18 and I decided that I didn't want to go straight into university life. So I decided to take a gap year and I didn't want to be in England for that gap year and I wanted to do something. So I thought about going to Australia and then I thought that was quite far away. And so then I settled in Holland, which is only, well, it's about a 45-minute flight. So it's much, much closer. And I went out there to play hockey. And the idea was to come back to England after that. But I had such a good time and I made some really good friends and my hockey improved so much that I decided to stay some more. However, my mum said to me that if you stay, then you have to actually do something, because at that time I was not really doing much apart from playing hockey and doing a bit of coaching. So then I started looking at universities, and then there was a university close by which did international business, which is what I wanted to do, and the course was in English as well. And it was much, much, much cheaper than in England. So decided to apply for that, and then I got a place into that. So I was the only English person actually at the university doing that course. And yeah, so then I stayed there for, well, till I finished my university degree. So I ended up being in Holland for over 3 years and then returned back to England when I was 21 with an international business degree and lots of memories from a really fun time in Holland.
What is the difference between hockey in both the countries?
A lot, actually. So hockey in Holland, everybody plays it. Everybody.
Everybody.
Not quite everybody. But lots of people. So it's one of the most popular sports over there. Whereas in England, it's not really. I think the most popular sports I would say would be maybe football. But certainly now for the boys and the girls. What else would you say is popular in England in terms of sports?
I'm going to cricket over and over and over again.
Yeah, cricket.
If you keep saying cricket, you're going to turn it into one.
But anyway, back to Holland, they love hockey over there, so they have loads of people that play it, and they play, maybe people who are 10, 11 years old might play three times a week, which is crazy. So that's the main difference, is the interest and the amount of people that play it, and that's why they're so good. That's why the women are number one in the world and have been for a long, long time, because the country loves the sport and there's lots of people that play it and the coaching is really good as well.
As long as they don't have little babies in the pushchairs going at it.
You know, you never know. They might have that, you know. They do have like mums hockey. So back to hockey for mums with kids or with small kids, then they might take them along.
Do you speak Dutch? And if so, can you teach us some Dutch, please?
Yeah, I do. You've really done your research, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yep, I do speak Dutch. You are really testing me now because it has been a while since I've spoken it. What can I teach you? I can say, hello, my name is Shona. And obviously you put your names in there. So hello is hoi.
Hoi?
Hoi.
Yeah, hoi. Hoi.
Hoi.
Yeah, there you go. And then to say my name is, my name is.
My name is.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound that much different.
My name is. So, hoi, hoi, my name is Shona.
Hoi, my name is.
There you go.
Wait, what?
There you go. And then another phrase which we can teach you is, let's say, if you want to say, I love school. Yeah. So I love is ik hou van. Ik hou van school.
Ik hou van
school. Van? Yeah. Van as in car, van. Literally. So ik hou van school. That means I love.
You can say that.
Oh God.
You can change to another word. What else can we do it?
Never forgot the other part.
Ik hou van school. I love
school. Great Britain has a central.
That's a centralised.
Centralised hockey programme. Can you tell us about that, please, and explain what that is?
I can. So really lucky actually to have this program. And what it means is that the Great Britain men's and women's hockey teams are full-time athletes. So they train Monday to Friday in the week. So instead of having jobs like teachers or Dutch teachers, English teachers, accountants or doctors or whatever other jobs, they are actually professional athletes. So that is their job, and that's what the centralized program means. They all train at the same place at the same time, all together. And that's been going on since 2009. Oh, that's my doorbell. I'll leave it. They can wait. This is more important. this is more important. And now my doorbell's ringing on my phone. 1 second. And so then they train full time, and they maybe do about 7 or 8 sessions a week together. So a lot of time spent together. And then in the evenings, then they're free to do what they want. So that's what the centralized training program means.
In 2015, you played in the European Championships in England and won the gold medal. You beat Holland on penalties in the final. What are your memories of that?
We did. That was coming up to nearly 10 years ago, which is crazy. It was so cool to do it in London in front of loads of people that were cheering for England. Some of my friends and family were there as well, which was awesome. I remember being really nervous beforehand, but during the match, I remember not being nervous at all. The match actually ended 2-2, so it was a draw, which meant that we go to penalties, just like in football. And England, the England goalkeeper at the time, was someone called Maddie Hinch. And she was one of the best goalkeepers in the world. So I remember when we had these penalties, that knowing that Maddie was so, so good, along with the 5 girls that were going to take them, that I was feeling pretty confident, actually, that we were going to win. So our body language was much better than the Dutch girls. They were all sad and frustrated that they'd drawn 2-2, and we were pretty happy and we were ready to go for the next phase, which was the penalties. And yeah, we ended up winning that penalty shootout. And then after that, there was just lots and lots and lots of celebrations. Lots of celebrations, lots of smiling, screaming, happiness. And it was just an amazing, amazing time to be a part of the England hockey team then, because it was the first gold medal we'd won for a really long time.
I'm surprised your hearing's still intact.
Yeah, it was good. I think I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube, the highlights, if you want to go watch it on YouTube. And then you'll see the screaming and the shouting and the happiness that came with winning that gold medal.
Okay. The following year, at the 2016 Olympics in Rio, and you had an amazing time. Before we talk about the hockey, what are your memories of the Olympic Games away from the pitch and in the athletes' village?
These are really good questions, guys. They're not the normal questions that we get that I get. So great. Yeah.
I'm wanting to think, how can Adam find these?
He pokes around in places.
So, the memories away from the hockey pitch at the Rio Olympic Games were awesome. So, when we got on the flight to Rio, we were actually on the same plane as Usain Bolt. Now, I don't know if you guys remember Usain Bolt, but he was the king of sprinting. And so that was just cool straight up, right? And then we got to the Olympic Village. And how many people are at your school?
It's about 150.
150. Okay, so you have a dining hall which will allow 150 people to eat in it at once, right? Now, for the Olympics, we stayed in the Athlete Village where there was 10,000 people. From all different countries, athletes, staff, everyone, 10,000 people there. So now imagine a dining hall that fits 10,000 people in. Imagine everybody wanted to eat lunch at the same time. So that was amazing. Yeah, it was incredible. I can't remember the stats of it, but I want to say that It was, you might be able to Google it. How big was the Rio Athlete Village dining hall? But it was gigantic. It probably would have taken me about 20 minutes to walk all the way around it. So that was pretty cool. What
That
else?
many people meeting together. Well, that's like a food fight waiting to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see a food fight. I think I didn't see one, but athletes tend to like to eat their food actually because they're usually pretty hungry. But in this food hall, there was all different types of food, right? So if I wanted to, I could have had an Asian cuisine for breakfast, so noodles or rice or curry, or I could have had sushi for breakfast if I wanted to, or if I could have pasta or pizza, more of an Italian cuisine. I could have had literally whatever I wanted. So it was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if I wanted food at 3 a.m. in the morning, I could walk down and go get food at 3 a.m. in the morning. So that was crazy to think that that goes on. What else was crazy and just pretty cool? They had a hairdresser there. They had somewhere where you could have your nails done. They had a florist where you could buy flowers. You could go to the post office there. There was also a McDonald's there, which was pretty cool. Yeah.
Food.
So we never went to McDonald's during the Olympics, but only when we finished playing did we go to the Olympics. And actually, I could see the McDonald's from my bedroom. So we used to look at it every day, just waiting for the day which I could go and visit. What else? It was probably the Olympic Village itself is probably about to walk all the way around it was probably about 2 kilometers. It'd probably take you about, I don't know, 30 to 40 minutes to walk all the way around. So it was really big. Those are my memories of the Rio Olympic Village, just how big it was.
They get the food to stock that dining room. Did
Yes.
they raid a bunch of shops?
Who knows? I guess they have 4 years between the Olympics to plan for it, so
A while.
lots of time planning how to get all that food in because you wouldn't want to run out and have hungry athletes, would you?
No.
You went all the way and won a gold medal, a gold medal in Rio. You beat Holland. Wow, you kicked their butts a lot. On penalties, you do that a lot too.
Yeah.
What are your memories of that game and winning?
Yeah, don't say that too loudly if there's any Dutch people listening to this podcast, because I'm
Don't
not sure they like us for that.
worry, we deal with people all over the world. We can handle a bunch of angry Dutch people.
Great, great. Yeah, they weren't that happy that we beat them again in the final. They don't often lose matches, so yeah, the game itself was pretty crazy. So it ended up being 3-all. So lots of goals. We were 1-0 up, then we were 2-1 down, and then we blinked and we were 3-2 down, and then we had 8 minutes to go, I think, and then scored and made it 3-all. And then again, we got back to the penalties. So the same principles applies that the England, that team that was a year ago, we had a great goalkeeper. Our body language was good. We were looking forward to it. We were excited about it. Our five penalty takers were really good. They practiced so much. And then we looked over to the Dutch team and they were like, heads down, shoulders down. I don't know. They might have been thinking about what happened a year before. Who knows? But anyway, we ended up winning that penalty shootout. So we won it. They didn't score a single penalty, actually. And we scored.
Oh no.
Yeah, we scored two. I didn't take one. I was at the halfway line pretending to be all chilled, but inside I was pretty nervous. And yeah, and then similar things happened. Lots of celebrations, lots of happiness, lots of hugging, tears of happiness, joy. But the celebrations probably lasted a little bit longer than they did at the they won the year before. And yeah, it was a great, great time. We had lots of parties to go to afterwards and loads of fun things to do, and hockey was cool for a little bit, which was great.
What is the one question you would never ever answer?
Oh, are you going to ask it to me then?
No. Maybe.
What is
No.
it I'd never ever answer? I mean, I would answer all questions, but I might tell a little cheeky lie. What do I not answer? When I go to schools, some younger children like to ask me how much money I have in my bank. Yeah, I don't answer that one. I just say if you really want to be rich, then don't become a hockey player because I'm not, unfortunately, not that rich in money, but I have a lot of experiences, so rich in experiences.
You have had a number of injuries in your career and had a few
Concussions.
concussions. Oh, God. And how do you deal with those times and when you are injured, and how does it affect your mental health?
Good questions. Yeah, I have had tons of injuries actually, and it's really tough. It's really tough because you're not allowed to do what you really want to do, and sometimes it affects your daily life as well. So, if I had an ankle injury and I was on crutches, it's really annoying. Being an athlete, you have to accept that you're going to get injured. It's just part and parcel of it. So you don't fight it. It just, if it happens, it happens. What's really important though, when you are injured, especially for a long time, when I say a long time, a couple of months, is to make sure that you're still doing fun things. So you're still seeing your friends, you still got fun things in the diary to look forward to. Otherwise, it can get pretty boring and you can get a bit sad because you're not really able to do anything. So yeah, making sure there's always fun things planned in the diary would be my biggest tip for people that are injured. And also, when you are injured, listen to your physiotherapist or your rehab coach that is helping you get back to playing your sport because they know what they're talking about, and listen to them.
In 2018, whilst playing in
Argentina.
Argentina, you suffered concussion. Oshin, can you tell us a bit about that, please, and your memories of that time?
So I was playing in Argentina and I was in the middle of the pitch and I went to receive the ball. So one of my teammates passed me the ball. And as I received it and looked up, an Argentinian player just went whack on my head. It wasn't on purpose, it was an accident. And I ended up spinning around a little bit and then thinking, oh, I don't feel quite right here. And then I got called off to go and sub, and I thought I was running straight to where the subs are, and apparently I was running like this. I was just running a little
Oh, you
I was a bit
had
all up.
concussions or head injuries for a reason.
Yeah, so I had a bit of a knock to the head, and now luckily we have a doctor who's on the side of the pitch, so they looked after me and helped me and made sure I was okay. And then after that, it was quite a tough period actually. Like I really struggled with lights, bright lights and bright sounds. Like it just
Yeah,
went,
that is a sign.
when it's really loud and you just think, oh, I can't do this. Or when it's really bright and you're just like, oh, I really struggled with that for ages and I had headaches. But I was out of the game for a while, but I got some really good support from some concussion specialists because it's a bit of a weird area, not really. Many people know loads about it, so you have to go and find the specialist people that know about it. So it was a really tough period actually of my life, but like I said before, it was really important to have fun things planned in. So I spent a lot of time with my family during that time, and they made me feel a lot better.
Weird thing about that concussion sounds like a hangover only without the alcohol.
Do you know what? It is. It is, and I wouldn't recommend alcohol, especially not at your ages. And so yeah, it's a little bit like having a like you've had too much to drink, but you actually haven't had anything to drink.
What is the difference between playing hockey for Great Britain and playing at a club level? Is it a big step up and what more can be done to improve hockey in England?
If I had a magic wand, what I'd do is make the England club system professional, and I'd have a magic wand which makes a money tree and get loads of money and pump all the money into that. And so then the club is then a bit more professional. So we have sponsors and the players are full-time hockey players. Because at the moment, for club, so I'll tell you the differences. For a club team, you probably train twice a week and play one match at the weekend. And that's in the evenings. And then in the day, you will go to work. So you'll work as a psychologist, or you'll work as a teacher, or you'll work as a physio, or you'll work as an accountant, or whatever.
You work as a physio and a hockey player at the same time?
Because as a club hockey player, you only train in the evening. So you go to work in the day, and then in your evening time, you go to training. Whereas in international, so for Great Britain, they train maybe like 7 or 8 times a week, and it's in the day, and that's their job. And then the evenings, then that's it. They don't have to do anymore. So it is really, really, really different. Club hockey players have a job and then also play hockey, whereas international players, their job is to play hockey. So it is really different. But I play club hockey still at Reading, which is down near London, and I really, really enjoy it. So I train in the evenings twice a week, and we're doing really well, and it's really, really, really fun. And that's the reason why, you know, age 6 I started playing, because it was really fun, and still why I'm playing now. It's just really fun.
You must have travelled to a lot of places and spent a lot of time with your friends. Can you recall any pranks, or who were the biggest jokers in your team?
Yeah, I can. The first prank we did, we spend a lot of time in hotels, right? And sometimes it can get a bit boring. And I remember being 18, and I was away with England under 21s with another girl who was 18, and we got called the creche. So we were the babies, so they called us the creche.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what started it, but something happened and they came into our room and did something, and I can't remember exactly what it was. But anyway, then what we decided to do was break into their room again, and then we got all their clothes out their bag and like put them all down the corridor. So then we had to go try and find all their clothes, which was quite funny at the time. Now, there was another prank which happened, which could have turned out really bad, but luckily it didn't. And I was in the room at the time. It was in 2017, we were in Spain. I was in a room, and there was a girl sat on her bed, and it was near the window. Now, the window was open, but it was only open a little bit. You know, hotel windows don't open that much. And what one girl did is she snuck up to this girl and she scared her. She went, boom! And what this girl did was she chucked her phone. And her phone was about that far from flying out the window, out of a fourth or fifth floor story, out onto the floor. So that could have been really, really bad. Now, luckily it wasn't. Luckily it wasn't, but that could have been really bad. Yeah.
Also, this is my own question, so you don't have to answer it. What was your favourite place that you went to?
Well, that's a great question. Of course I'm going to answer that. My favourite place that I went to, can I have a few, or does it have to be one?
You can have a few if you want.
Okay, great. So I'll give it explanations as to why. So I really enjoyed Australia because the weather was so great when we went there.
So that's and kangaroos and koalas.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and there's koalas and kangaroos actually. And then I also really enjoyed Argentina because in Argentina they love hockey so much and they are so passionate about it. So if we can combine those two, that'd be great. And yeah, I also really enjoyed going over to Holland because they love hockey as well, and it's just really professional and everything's just super organised. So if we can combine Argentina, Australia and Holland, that would be perfect.
A few years later, you went to the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. This was a very different game due to COVID. This must have had a big impact on your preparations leading up to the games.
Yeah, it definitely did. The preparation was like chalk and cheese from Rio to Tokyo. So if you remember, during Tokyo, we weren't really allowed to travel or go anywhere. So we had to do all our preparation in England. Now, we we had a really big challenge because Tokyo was going to be about 35 degrees. And in England, it doesn't get up to 35 degrees. It gets up to probably about mid-20s if we're lucky. So we needed to get used to the hot temperatures, but we weren't allowed to travel. So we had to think of a plan. So the sports scientists that work with GB hockey and also lots of other Olympic sports found a plan, which was COVID safe. And what we did was we went in on a static bike, so on a bike that you see in the gym or whatever, and we popped that into a greenhouse, a blow up greenhouse with a heater inside. So we were inside this little greenhouse with a heater at like 35, 36 degrees, and we had to pedal on this bike.
And melt.
Yeah. And that is how we got used to being in the heat, COVID safe, without traveling abroad. So there is a YouTube video which explains it really well. And I'll let you guys see it because I think you'd find it really, really interesting about how we prepared to do that. And it was, yeah, a really big challenge. And the Olympics were very different to Rio, but was still super fun and still had an amazing time. And yeah, we came away with a bronze medal, which if you look at it, you know, if you squint, it does look a little bit like gold. So it's still, any achievement at Olympics is still an achievement, but I'm still really proud of that bronze medal.
Next time you need to have a heat adjustment session, shouldn't just come by my back garden doing a heat wave.
Okay, you let me know.
The 40 back there. Okay, we just want to stop with the questions about your career at the moment and play a would you rather game, a child friendly would you rather game.
Okay, here we go.
For this sake. Night in or night out?
Night out.
Beach holiday or city break?
Beach holiday.
Okay. Would you rather talk to animals or speak every language?
Talk to animals.
Okay. Would you rather explore space or explore the bottom of the ocean? Neither of them have oxygen, so.
I'm going to go the bottom of the ocean. But as long as I can see, I don't want it to be dark, you know, then that's a bit scary.
Spend the day with your dog or your partner?
Probably dog. Yeah, dog. Why not?
No doubt he will be, or she will be, very impressed with that.
The dog will be impressed though, so that's all that matters.
Would you rather go forward 200 years and see your future family or go back 200 years and meet your ancestors?
Do you know what? I'm going to say go back 200 years because I want to see what life was really like back then and then just probably realise how lucky we are to have the life that we have now. Because I remember my gran, she told me that she used to have to walk 2 miles to school every day, which is crazy.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a long way, right? There and back. So I think I want to go back and see what life was like back then.
During these games, what was it like? Were you able to move around and enjoy it, or was it a lot of isolation?
Yeah, during the Olympics, it was fairly strict, you know, so we weren't allowed to go out and see Tokyo. We were very much confined to the athletes' village. We had to wear masks a lot. We had to do daily COVID tests. So it was difficult, but that was the norm, and that's what we needed to do at that time to stay safe. And, you know, all athletes wanted to do that because they wanted to be in the best position to perform and hopefully win in a medal or achieve what they wanted to do at that game. So it was a little bit different, but it was still fun.
The following year was the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. What were those these games like playing in front of a home crowd?
It was amazing. So it was amazing for many reasons. One, obviously being at home, Birmingham is a great place. The support was fab. Secondly, we were used to not playing with crowds because of COVID, so they were just slowly coming back. And thirdly, the stands that they put up for the hockey was amazing. So it was just this big bank of noise. So it was just on one side and it was so tall. And the sound was just incredible. So all those factors just really contributed into a really fab time to be a Team England hockey player because the support was just amazing. Along with it being summer and the weather was really nice as well, and along with the fact that we did pretty well and ended up winning the tournament.
And you won a gold medal at the Commonwealth Games and beating Australia in the final. And what are your memories of that game and playing in front of a home crowd?
I remember it being very noisy. The crowd was really behind us. I remember feeling really confident. I remember having a really good game plan on how to defeat them. And it ended up being 2-1, but actually they were a bit lucky, I think, to get that one goal. It was actually much more comfortable than that. And so it was just a really, really, really enjoyable game. There was never one part of me that thought we were going to lose that. And to do it in front of a home crowd was great. It was so great to have friends and family there. Birmingham's not far from Nottinghamshire, which is where I live. So friends and family could come over, and loads of the girls had their family and friends there, which was amazing.
You retired a few months ago in October. Oh, the same month as my birthday. How did you come to that decision? Were you tempted to continue to reach the Olympics this year in Paris?
Yeah, I did. So I did retire in I think it was September, actually. Might be October, you might be right. I can't remember. I retired, I'd been part of the team for 10 years. And I just wasn't really enjoying it as much as I was before. And going back to the six-year-old Shona, you want to enjoy what you do, especially if it's your job, Monday to Friday. And I just wasn't really enjoying it. It was tough because, like you say, the Olympics is really close. And as a hockey player, like, the Olympics is the dream to go to. But I had no real desire to go, to be honest. And that's when I knew that it was probably time to step away. So I decided to take some time away and have a real think about it. And then decided to that was that. So I am now no longer a professional hockey player. That's not my job anymore. I still play for an amateur club level, which I really, really, really enjoy. But, you know, I still watch it, of course. And I want to wish the men's and the women's team, who've both qualified for Paris, you know, the best of luck on their journey. And I'm sure everyone will be working super hard to be the best that they can be and to be part of the best teams that they can be when Paris Olympics comes around.
So you're a coach at Reading now, and it's the second year back in the Premier Division. After a poor year last year, you are now doing really well this year. How are you finding your time at Reading?
Yeah, that's a really good summary, actually. It is the second year back after being promoted. Last year was a really tough year. We nearly got relegated back again. But this year we are currently second in the league, so doing way better. Second out of 12, I think. Yeah, 12 teams. So we're doing way better. And we're all really enjoying it, enjoying the style of hockey that we play. And yeah, looking forward to the end of the season and see where we finish and see how successful we can be.
What are you looking forward to the most about your retirement?
Oh, that's a good question. Being able to eat what I want, when I want. Being able to go on holiday when I want. Not missing out on family events and friends events and birthdays. Not having to train every single day. It's quite nice. I have a lot more energy because I'm less tired. So yeah, there's lots of things which I don't miss. I obviously do miss being part of a team going towards an Olympics and yeah, seeing my friends every single day, but I'm really happy with my decision and I'm really glad that I've made it.
You do a lot of if work with Headway and raising
awareness
around
concussions
and brain injury. How important is this work and campaigns in such as Headway?
Yeah, so it's something which is really important to me because I've suffered from two concussions and it's a really unknown field. Not many people know much about it, so I want to try and help spread the word and the awareness of what it is and how people suffer from it and how you can help people from it. So it's something that I've been through before, and so I feel fairly passionate about it, and that's why I like to do that.
Do you have any regret in your career?
No, you know, I don't. It's a good question. I've been asked that before, but no, I don't. Everything in my career happened for a reason. I don't regret retiring. I don't regret anything that I've done. And I look back on my career with, yeah, pride and happiness. And I really have enjoyed my time being a hockey player, but it's now time for something else.
Every week on the podcast, we like our guests to ask questions to each other. So we get our guests to ask a question, but they have no idea who the question is going to be for.
This is fun.
Yeah. This week's question comes from our previous guest, WWE referee Mike Chioda. It's a wrestling question, I'm afraid. Mike asks, who do you think will win the title at WrestleMania? Cody Rhodes or Roman Reigns? I think this one just went all over her head.
I'm not a wrestling fan, actually. The only one I know is The Rock. That's from a few years ago. So I'm going to go with, who was the first one? Cody, someone? Cody. I'm going to say Cody's going to win.
Cody Rhodes. Okay.
Yes. Could you do the same, please? Can you think of a question for our next guest, please? But we aren't going to tell you who the guest is. The question can be anything you want.
I'm gonna ask them who's their favorite presenter of this podcast.
I need to watch. When is this in the next one gonna come out? Because I need to do it.
How about that for a question? That's a good
one. I'm watching that podcast, definitely.
I would just like to say a big thank you again to everyone who listens to our podcast. We really appreciate it. Please continue to leave reviews and pass our podcast on to your friends and family. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today, Shona. We really enjoyed speaking with you, and it means so much to us as a school to be able to have the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you.
Guys, you are more than welcome. It's been my pleasure. You've done so well. You're such a great podcast host, and it's been a really enjoyable 50 minutes chatting to you.
So, what was your favourite part of today's episode?
It's probably about it being about hockey, because I do really like hockey. Okay, I don't watch it all too much, but when I do, I always find it interesting. Mm-hmm. I do mainly watch ice hockey, that's a bit more brutal. Mm-hmm. But it's still fun and to see it and listen to how how many forms of hockey there are. Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the bit where she explained the sheer size of a dining room. 10,000 people.
Yeah,
wow.
That's
claustrophobia.
Ooh.
And crowd sickness. I hope no one there had it. Any of those?
No.
Okay. This week we have received a question from Paul. From Paul? Paul. I hope that's how you say your name. I am so sorry if it's not. In Liverpool, who asks, if you could eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be? Well then, what's your answer?
Mashed potato.
Mashed potato.
Because I pretty much already do it already.
Chicken noodles. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Ning, please continue to do so. If you have any questions, just shoot us a message with a question attached, and we'll get to you when we can. So for now, me and Daniel here will have to say goodbye.
Bye.
We'll see you again soon.
The TWS Sports Podcast combines autism and sport. This unique podcast is hosted by children with autism, and each week they interview famous sportsmen and women from around the world. The TWS Sports Podcast takes you deep into the sports star's career, their highs and lows, what happens away from the field of play, and so much more.
This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other podcast apps. The TWS Sports Podcast, where autism and sports combine.